you had any hair left, Rick, you could let it down because it's the Asylum Fantasy Sports Bonus Hour.
My favorite hour of the week. And you know what? March Madness is here, buddy.
Thank God.
It starts tonight. Today.
Yeah, it's actually about 8 hours old at this point. However, let's let them behind the curtain, Rick. We're recording this Monday night this week.
Yeah, and so our picks, when I'm completely correct, I didn't do it after the games were played.
Yeah, that's true. We want that disclaimer in case we do pick any Thursday upsets and you boneheads are trying to contend that we're talking about this after the games already happened.
That's right. But no, I can't wait for this. And, well, let's get started.
Oh, you just want to dive right
into
it.
Why not? Let's just get started.
So here's what we're going to do. If you're fixing on winning that $1 billion bracket that everyone thinks they're going to win, I'll share my winnings with you because Rick and I are going to take it individually, and I would suggest going with me, all the way to the end. We will pick our national champion here tonight on the bonus hour.
Yes, we will. It's going to be action-packed. And plus, we have plenty of stories and a word from our sponsor
I hear we have a new sponsor, exciting
one.
Sponsor.
Just so many.
They are beating down the door to get associated with the Asylum. Why not? You can't blame them.
Exactly.
So, Rick, for the first couple rounds, we don't want to bore everybody with paralysis by analysis, if you will. Start with the South region. Rick will take it all the way to the Final Four in the first round. Actually, the second round is the NCAA likes to call it now. What upsets do you have? What lower-seeded teams do you have moving on?
I will be very honest with you. In the South, I only have one of the higher or lower seeds, however you want to look at it. I have the 9-seed Pitt taking out 8-seeded Colorado. I'm chalked the whole way across. I got Florida, VCU, UCLA, Ohio State, Syracuse, New Mexico. I was a little shaky on that one, but I think they're going to redeem themselves from that horrible loss to Harvard last year. And then I'm going Kansas.
So chalk except for Pitt. Not a huge upset there, but lower-seeded team. I also have my Pitt Panthers, strictly a homer pick. Rick, I'm one of the guys buying into Stephen F. Austin. I hate that they drew VCU. I think these are two teams who could go on a run. I believe in the VCU team that much. But Stephen F. Austin, over 30 wins, haven't lost since before Christmas. This is just team on a roll, a senior-laden team. I'm buying into it. Moving on, I like Dayton over Ohio State based simply on Dayton has wanted a piece of Ohio State for years, and Thad Matta has avoided them, hid under the desk like a coward, and the NCAA tournament committee makes them face once and for all, and I think Dayton takes advantage of this, and that's where it ends for me.
Yeah, I tell you what, I wrestled with that one. I almost took Dayton a couple of different times, and I went with Ohio State.
Look, Ohio State's the better team. Aaron Kraft at the point with that senior. That kid has a way of getting it done. Really do like that team. I just think Dayton's been chomping at the bit for this matchup for too long.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you 100%. It's going to be a great matchup. I really like that.
So, Rick, out into the third round. Well, you know what? We're to the point. We can just pick these games real quick. I'll start it off. I like Florida over Pitt. I don't think that game's close. My thought, Rick, if I'm going to take Stephen F. Austin out of the first round, I got to run him into the Sweet 16. So I have them beating a suddenly upstart UCLA team. I don't think Dayton any match for Syracuse and New Mexico any match for Kansas. So I'm into the Sweet 16 with Florida, Stephen F. Austin, Syracuse, and Kansas.
And we are the same except I took VCU over a UCLA team because I'm like you. I think VCU can get on a roll. And I'll be really honest with you. I wrestled with UCLA taking out Tulsa.
Yeah.
And, you know, UCLA is a good team, but I like VCU. They're kind of a scary bunch. So I got Florida, VCU, Syracuse, Kansas.
All right. So for me, it's Florida, Stephen F. Austin. I have Florida there, Syracuse, Kansas. I took Syracuse coming out. I buy into Tyler Ennis. If Christmas can get on a roll there, I just wanted to use the name Christmas there.
Right.
Kansas team I'm not buying into. I don't trust that they're going to be completely healthy there. Syracuse, untouchable for such a large part of the year, been on a bit of a swoon, but Jim Boeheim knows a thing or two about winning games in the NCAA tournament. So I'm going to sit Florida and Syracuse in the Elite Eight.
All right, I've got Florida, and I'm buying into the advantage of youth. I think they'll be healed up. I think Kansas by that time will be healthy, and I'm going Kansas.
Well, and Bill Self's won a game or two in the NCAA tournament,
exactly.
Too. Not quite as many as Jim Boeheim, but he's got it done. Rick, I'm going to stay chalk in this bracket, though, in the South. Florida, it's been a long time since they lost a game. You go completely undefeated in your conference and really not a lot of close games, and I have Florida pretty much breezing into the Final Four.
And I've got the upset. I've got Kansas.
Oh, you got Kansas.
I've got
out
Kansas
to the Final
going
Four.
There.
Gutsy pick. I like it. I'll give you credit for that. You're wrong, but I give you credit for making the
most
pick.
Likely, but so. I do like Kansas.
All right, Rick, let's drop down to the East, the one seed Virginia, also including Villanova, who was the three seed in this one, Iowa State, a pretty soft bracket as far as I'm concerned. Who are your upsets in the first round?
The
second
upsets,
round, excuse me, NCAA.
Well, yeah, I have none.
None.
I cannot find one. I got Virginia, obviously. I went Memphis over GW, you know, the 8-9. I don't see Harvard beating Cincinnati. Delaware, no match for Tom Izzo, I don't think. I thought about Providence over UNC, but, you know, I went Carolina, and I just don't see it. I just don't see an upset.
I did, Rick, take Harvard. This is a battle-tested team that won a game in the NCAA tournament against a Cincinnati team that can't score. That's what it came down to me. You have a senior-laden Harvard team that can score. That's a team coming out of the Ivy League. They don't play that goofy Princeton offense, that motion offense. They play legitimate college basketball. They have scores. Cincinnati is going to have to hold Harvard in the 50s to win, and I'm not sure they can do that. So I like that Harvard team there. And I also took St. Joe's, got on a nice little run in what ended up being a really tough A-10 this year, and I like St. Joe's over Connecticut. Look, you always worry about Shabazz Napier going off. If he goes hot, they'll do what they did a few years ago, and they'll run all the way out to the championship. But I think St. Joe's is equipped to take them out. So those are my only two upsets coming out of the East.
All right. I just couldn't pull the trigger on any of those, to be honest with you. So, okay, let's move on. And I've got Virginia taken out at number 8, Memphis. So they're there. I like Tom Izzo. We've talked about him. I'm looking at
time of the year.
Michigan State. I've got Michigan State beating Cincinnati. I have the Cyclones of Iowa State taken out at UNC. But then, you know, I'm like you. I'm looking for the run. I got UConn over Villanova in an upset. They've got history, and I'm not convinced of Villanova.
No, I'm not fully buying into them. And again, with a guy like Shabazz Napier, if he gets rolling, starts putting up 30 a game, that team's going to be tough to beat. I've got Virginia coming out. I've also got Tom Izzo. This is his time of year. That team back healthy. This team is a legitimate threat to win this whole thing. Have them going out. I actually have Carolina taking out Iowa State. Carolina, Jekyll and Hyde team.
Yep.
But they have what you look for, what is generally the difference maker in this tournament, and they have the point guard. You have James Michael McAdoo in the middle. He can get things done, but they have the point guard, and that makes the difference for me in that game. And I have Villanova moving past St. Joseph's.
All right, so we're quite different in the East.
Yeah, that's a shocker. We're not agreeing on something.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'll tell you what, I don't know how you have it, but I'm telling you, I'm convinced of Michigan State. I have them taking out Virginia. And then I have believing in the Cyclones. I got them taking out Connecticut. So I have the 3 and 4 meeting for the finals in the East.
Interesting. Rick, this one bothered me. I've watched that Virginia team play a lot. I've seen them play in person, watching all the way through the ACC tournament and a few other games throughout the year. Watch what when they just blew the doors off Syracuse a week or two ago. I love this Virginia team. Again, I just believe in Izzo so much. I had to take Michigan State there. I'd have loved for Virginia to be the number one in a different bracket, and I think that team's good enough to go to the Final Four, but I don't think they're good enough to beat a now healthy and Tom Izzo coach Michigan State team. So I've got the 4 seed in Michigan State. Not a big believer in Villanova, but I think they're a little quicker, a little better off the ball than North Carolina. So I got Michigan State versus Villanova in the Elite Eight.
All right, so we have Michigan State, and I have Iowa State, and you have Villanova, so that's a little different there. And Michigan State is just one of those teams that you almost just fill them out till you get to the Elite
Eight,
and then you start thinking.
Yeah, now you have to start thinking. And this team banged up all year. You can see what happens. All of a sudden they got healthy, ran roughshod through that Big Ten tournament.
Yeah.
Just smacked Michigan around yesterday, made me and, believe me, everybody else, we're not breaking any ground here, made everybody else a believer after you saw what they did in that Big Ten tournament.
Yeah, and I don't think that people didn't believe in Tom Izzo, but I think he just asserted that, hey, they're taking notice now.
And there was questions about that team, but you know, now that they're healthy, you know what Izzo can do. Now that they're healthy, what sticks in my mind, boy, I hate to let one game make all these decisions for me, but Michigan was being talked about and had been slotted in as a number one seed going into yesterday, and I think that game, what was it, an 8 to 12 point spread, right around
right.
10, I can't remember what, it wasn't that close. Michigan State dominated that game.
Yeah, they certainly did, and for that reason, I have them going to the Final Four. I have them breezing by. I figure if they get by Virginia, get to the Elite Eight, they're not stopping going to the Final Four.
Smooth sailing. I like that Villanova team a little more than you do, but I think Michigan State walks into the Final Four. I agree 100%. So let's jump out to the West, Rick. I will start this show as I try to look for upsets there. If you want to call it, I got the 9-seed Oklahoma State. I got the 11-seed Nebraska over Baylor. I like that, and that's all I have right there. So Oklahoma State at the 9 and Nebraska over Baylor in the 6-11 contest.
And as much as I hate to admit, that's the exact ones that I have.
And Nebraska's a team that bothers me. I'm not sure they belong in this tournament, but that's the kind of team that always wins
right.
that first-round matchup. You know, a 19-win team when you have a 22, 23-win team in SMU not make the field.
Right.
Look, the Big Ten's tougher than what's left of that Big East. I understand. However, look at it, 19 wins. I'm not sure they earned, you know, not even playing on Tuesday or Wednesday, but just earned that straight 10, 11 seed. But just based on that, those are the kind of teams we're going to gripe about them all week, so they're going to go out and win a game.
Yeah, and I see. It's a good matchup for them as well. Baylor's sort of the upstart team. I like them, but you know, I just think Nebraska—they're peaking right now, and I think this is the team that they can beat.
And they are battle tested in that Big Ten,
right?
Yeah,
no question.
Walk out of there with 19 wins in the Big Ten.
Yep.
And they beat an Ohio State team. They beat some teams.
We just took a Big Tenner to the Final Four in Michigan State. So.
Yeah, no question about it. So we have Arizona, Oklahoma State. Rick, if I had any stones at all, I'd have taken Oklahoma State here. If Marcus Smart gets right, this guy is a lottery pick. If he can stay out of the stands taking cuts at people and can actually finish the game, he is good enough and that team could go on a run. I just don't have the guts. I don't love this Arizona team. But I'm going to take Arizona there. Oklahoma, San Diego State. What a snooze game there for 4-5. I'll go Oklahoma so in a mild upset. That Creighton team, Doug McDermott, the way he can score, I don't think Nebraska can slow him down. And this one I struggle with. Oregon just rolling right now. Just beat Arizona not too long ago. That Wisconsin team, they were getting some love as a number one seed. I'm not a big believer in them, but I think they're probably good enough. Again, this Big Ten so solid to squeak past Oregon. But that's a game I'm looking forward to, Wisconsin and Oregon. But I'll take Wisconsin here.
Yeah, I agree. I'm the same way. And actually, I've got 1, 2, 3, and 4 going. I can't see San Diego State. I toss and turn with that one a little bit, but I like them a little better than Oklahoma. Creighton, I think, breezes by Nebraska. And Wisconsin, I think, a little better than Oregon. And I like Arizona. I think they're a very solid team. And I'm going Arizona. So then I have Arizona taking out San Diego State, and I have Creighton as a 3-seed out of the Big East going to play Arizona for the finals in the West.
You have Doug McDermott moving on. I have Arizona moving on. But I did take Wisconsin getting out the Elite Eight. After all that saying, I don't believe them. I think this West is a really soft bracket, and I went ahead and went chalk there. So I got 1 Arizona, 2 Wisconsin. In that game, I'll take the up and down of the Arizona team. I think this is by attrition, really. I just don't love this Arizona team, but I have them out in the Final Four.
Yeah, for hating that team.
Yeah, and I ran them straight to the Final Four.
Final Four, and I do too. So let's move on to the Midwest.
Now, this bracket is a joke. We talk about how soft the West was. I think the East was fairly soft. Now we're talking a bracket. However you feel about the Missouri Valley Conference, you have an undefeated Wichita State team, a up until that Michigan State game, a number one seed Michigan team down at 2. Duke at 3 and Louisville at 4. Talk about putting all your eggs in one basket there, committee. Wow.
Yeah, you have the fifth-ranked team in the nation as number 4 seed. That ain't a good draw if you're the number one seeded Shockers.
Yeah, I have to wonder, is it a coincidence? Is it the NCAA telling Wichita you're not crashing our party again? I have to wonder.
Yeah, it's hard to say. And, I mean, let's not forget that, you know, the 8 seed, Kentucky. Yeah, the battle-tested, and that's a good basketball team. A little banged up. They hit some rough roads. But you know what? They're Kentucky.
And John Calipari, again, knows how to win a few games in this tournament.
Exactly.
So let's run through it. I have, let's see. There's my 5-12 upset, I believe, and it makes a difference in this play-in game, so I reserve the right to change this. But I'm assuming NC State, a surprise into the tournament, beat Xavier, and if they beat Xavier with their scoring, I believe they take out St. Louis. St. Louis, a team heading the wrong direction. I don't love this UMass team. I was surprised to see them seeded that high at a 6th seed. I believe Tennessee beats Iowa and then turns around and beats UMass. I think we found historically these major schools, these big conference schools that play in these play-in games, get that extra game, get wound up a little bit. So I believe that's going to be Tennessee moving out there, and that's all I have. So it's NC State assuming they get there and Tennessee assuming they get there.
I'm going, I really thought about, you know, like you, the NC State is a much more serious contender, I think, to St. Louis and Xavier is. However, I'm going to go St. Louis, and, you know, no matter who goes into that one. But conversely, I don't really care who wins between Iowa and Tennessee. I like them better than UMass, so I'm going to take whichever one. I'm like you. I think Tennessee takes that, but even if Iowa comes out, you know, look, they're coming out of the Big Ten, you know, pretty tough team. I still like them better than UMass. My other upset, Arizona State. I like them over Texas.
Yeah, I think that's a coin flip game. I got no argument with that one. I only got to see Arizona State play once or twice, but I believe a team that also beat Arizona, so a team that can play a little bit of ball.
Yeah, that Pac-12 isn't the weakest school conference out there either.
No, not with UCLA back on the rise, Arizona doing what they're doing, Arizona State a good team. So then we go Wichita State-Kentucky. Talk about the matchup of the second round. I'm going to keep buying into Wichita State. I will not argue with anybody who wants to pick Kentucky there, but a wildly inconsistent Kentucky team. When you play with all these freshmen, you get years like this, and I think Wichita State obviously knows how to win. I think Louisville in a walk over NC State, got Duke in a walk over Iowa or Tennessee, and Michigan in a walk over Texas. So that chalks back together real quick for me.
Well, yeah, and that just goes back to what you were saying, throwing all your eggs in one basket. I have 1, 2, 3, and 4
Doesn't
as well.
That sound like a good Final Four right there, Wichita State, Louisville, Duke, and Michigan? I take that as a Final Four, and you're out in the regional right now.
Right. You know, I like Louisville in a walk over St. Louis. I like Duke in a walk over Iowa or Tennessee. I don't care which. And I think Michigan would be way too much for Arizona State. Now, Kentucky, scary, but I'm going to buy into the Shockers a little bit more. So I'm going 1, 2, 3, and 4. And then I've got, I tell you what, I think they are the most dangerous team in the tournament right now, Louisville. I've got them taking out Wichita State. Just what they have been doing in the last part of the season, just rolling people. Yeah, I mean, they beat Rutgers by 40-some points. Then at the end of the season, then they get them in the conference tournament. They beat them by 62 or something like that. And they're just destroying people.
Yeah.
And if they keep that on a roll, I don't think even Wichita State can beat them. And then I have Duke taking out Michigan. So I got a 3 and a 4 going to play for the Final Four in the Midwest.
Yeah, if Russ Smith and Russ Sanity does what he can do, if he keeps rolling the way he is, I think Wichita State hadn't faced nothing like this. And they didn't have to face anything like this last year going through the tournament until they get to the Final Four. So I think that's Louisville easily. I also have Duke taking out Michigan in a game I'm really looking forward to, and I certainly hope's happening. So now we get out to the Final Four. We've got this red-hot Louisville team versus a Duke team, Rick. Jabari Parker, Tyler Thornton, this team Duke has together. When it's going right for them, there's nobody in this tournament that can beat them. And I have Duke. I have a general rule for the most part. I try to find a way to get Duke into that Final Four. Wish they were in another bracket, but I have Duke beating Louisville to get back to the Final Four.
And I'm just the opposite. I think that it's a horrible matchup both ways. They should be in different brackets.
That's two number two seeds as far as I'm concerned.
That could be, if it comes to fruition, that could be the matchup of the entire tournament.
Because
if both these teams are on, I dare you to find two teams to compare to them.
That could be the national championship game in the regional final round at that point.
Right. And I got Louisville taking out Duke to get to the Final Four. So my Final Four is Kansas, Arizona, Michigan State, and Louisville.
Mine being Florida versus Michigan State, Arizona taking on Duke.
Okay. So now we get to the
now we're in Dallas.
Okay.
I hope everybody's writing this down, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. So we have Kansas Jayhawks versus the Michigan State Spartans for me, and you have, what, the Florida Gators in Michigan State. I'll let you go first.
I am going to go with this. I love this Michigan State. Here's what turned me on Michigan State. I wanted for all the world to put Michigan State in this game. But I'm watching the ESPN bracket show last night. Every single man on the panel, and then they get cut to Dick Vitale, wherever he was. I believe he was still in Greensboro. Cut to him. Every single man who was on the air on that show picked Michigan State to win the national championship. That told me something nefarious is afoot. Something ain't right. These guys are never right on this. So based on that and that alone, and what I think is a coin flip game, I've got the Florida Gators going into the national championship game. You've got four seniors who've won a lot of games. You've got Donovan who's won 30 games or more with 32, 33 games and only 11 losses, I believe, in the NCAA tournament. This is a guy who's won championships. I have Florida. They've been the best team for the last 3 months, and I think they keep going right into the national final.
Okay, well, I had Kansas upsetting your Florida Gators, so I can't go with them. I have Kansas going to the final game, upsetting Michigan State in a nail-biter. I don't know why. I know they're not healthy, and I know I shouldn't take them, but I've got Kansas in there.
All right, so I've got Florida. You've got Kansas. On the other side, I've got Arizona-Duke. I don't think this game is close. If Jabari Parker does what Jabari Parker can do, Duke runs past Arizona. And once again, get your pillows out, everybody who's tired of watching Coach K and all his antics. Duke back in the championship game to take on the Florida Gators.
And I've got Louisville doing the same thing as what you just described with Duke.
So exact 100% different championship game for us, Rick.
Yeah, I have Louisville and Kansas, and you have Florida and Duke. So
I'll pick a champion, tell you now, write it down, call your bookie if that's the kind of thing you're into. We certainly don't condone that here at the Asylum, but if that's your thing, call your bookie. 77-69, Rick, Coach K and the ACC does it again. The Duke Blue Devils out of nowhere with the freshman sensation Jabari Parker win the national championship.
Okay, well, I have Rick Pitino, unprecedented, two in a row. 71-65, Louisville over Kansas.
Doesn't happen often, but that's a team that could do it.
So there we have it.
Has there ever been a year, Rick, there's probably six or seven teams you can make an argument for to win the national championship. That doesn't happen often. There's always a lot of debate till you get out to the Elite Eight, and then things sort of seem to shake themselves out. There's maybe two, three teams with a legitimate shot to win the national title. Florida's good enough. Kansas is good enough. I think Syracuse is good enough.
I do, too.
Virginia's good enough. Michigan State's good enough. I don't buy into Villanova. Arizona State is good enough. Arizona's good enough to win this thing. Louisville, Duke, Michigan, all good enough to win this thing. How many teams is that? 8, 9 I mentioned that I think are good enough to win the national title this year.
Yeah, it's incredible that and four of them, like you said,
they're all in one region.
Yeah, all in one region. And I'm not sure Wichita State's not good enough to win it, too. I mean,
that's a Final Four team that hasn't lost since they lost in the Final Four last year.
They're a number one seed, and nobody's really paying much attention to them. But I tell you what, that's a very good basketball team.
Yeah,
and there's always the surprise. You know, we're talking all these powerhouses, and we're not bringing up the Creightons of the tournament, the VCUs, Memphis, if you will, Iowa State. I mean, there's a lot of good basketball teams that can bite you at any time.
Oh, yeah. And I think these first two rounds, they're always wild. I think they could be even more wild this year. You see, I remember 10 years ago there being separation on these 6-11 and 7-10 games. These games are all coin flips as far as I'm concerned this year.
Yeah,
there's
I agree.
That much parity in college basketball.
It is going to be a great tournament.
All right, Rick. Well, we are about halfway through. I think it's time we take a break for this week's sponsor.
Oh, and I'm sure glad you happened to bring that up because we have another sponsor here this week. And it's the Beauty Micrometer.
Oh, a Beauty Micrometer. So a scientific device of some sort.
Oh, yes. It analyzes facial flaws for makeup.
Oh, okay.
Recently perfected by Max Factor, one of Hollywood's most famous beauty experts, a new instrument designed to aid makeup men accurately register actors' facial measurements and discloses which features should be reduced or enhanced in the makeup process.
I need me one of these.
Flaws almost invisible to the ordinary eye become glaring distortions when thrown upon the screen in highly magnified images.
So you become horribly disfigured on television.
But Factor's Beauty Micrometer reveals the defects. The device, remotely resembling a baseball mask, fits over the head. You thought this was going to be a boring one, didn't you?
Yeah, so far you had me lost.
Fits over the head and face with flexible metal strips which conform closely to the various features. The strips are held in place by set screws.
You screw this thing in your face?
Allowing,
isn't that going to add some flaws?
Allowing for 325 possible adjustments.
Oh, that's a lot of
adjustments. If, for instance, the subject's nose is slightly crooked, so slightly, in fact, that it escapes ordinary observation, the flaw is promptly detected by the instrument and corrective makeup is applied by an experienced operator. So, remember, how did everyone look great? It was the Beauty Micrometer. Here, take a look at that,
baby.
Let me
take a gander at that. Well, that is a handsome piece of equipment right there. A very, very recent photo, clearly, and you just squeeze these some 300 screws in you, and they'll gimmick you right up, and you'll be straight. So that's good. The Beauty Micrometer by Max Factor. Check them out. I'm sure it's on their website, maxfactor.com, I'm sure. Get yourself a Beauty Micrometer. Quit being such a troll. It's time to get attractive again.
You got it.
Now, that's a slogan for them.
I'm sure they'll use that.
You like booze, right, Rick?
Of course.
I mean, you like McDonald's, right?
No, I do not.
All right. Well,
I don't eat fast food at all.
Yeah, I gave it up a long time. I mean, I find when you go back to it, your gizzards can't handle it. But there's a young man here named Zachary Boynton, 31 years old, and lives in New York. He is a fan of booze and a fan of McDonald's. Such a fan, in fact, that he was arrested for DUI at the same McDonald's twice on one night last Saturday.
He's hungry.
He was very hungry. So he pulled into the McDonald's drive-thru in Oneonta, New York, rear-ended the car in front of him.
Of course. So, he's probably holding him up.
Yeah. So the authorities showed up. They arrested him for DUI, held him for 4 hours, let him out, sent him home. I'm not sure how he got home. The story doesn't mention that.
Okay.
He got home. What do you think the first thing he did was? Hopped right back in the car, drove right back to McDonald's, hit the building, drove right into the side of the building. He rolled home. The police followed the damage there, followed him all the way to his driveway. No word on whether or not he actually got any food. It doesn't sound like it. So two DUIs in one night for Mr. Boynton at the same McDonald's. Maybe next time, Zachary, order a pizza. That's what I'd do.
Yeah, poor Zach. You know, he was just hungry. He just needed a Big Mac. You know, it kind of meant it's funny that you bring up DUI. Because in February, the Tennessee Supreme Court ruled that David Bell could not avoid being charged with DUI merely because he had been sober enough to pass all six field sobriety tests administered during a traffic stop.
So he passed the test.
He passed all six of them.
Okay, that's a lot.
It was enough, the court said, that he had admitted drinking that night.
Oh, wait a minute. Well, so?
A few days later, the Austin American Statesman, which I guess is a paper, reported on Texan Larry Davis' struggle to clear the 2013 DWI arrest from his record since he had blown a 0.0 alcohol reading that night and then had voluntarily undergone a blood test for other impairing drugs and come up clean on that.
Well, how'd they arrest him for DUI?
Davis had admitted to one drink but allegedly failed a field sobriety test in the opinion of the arresting officer anyway.
Oh, my God.
Davis' case is still unresolved, but since he has been declared an indigent, the state covers his legal expenses.
Well, how do you arrest, how do you arrest a sober man for DUI?
He admitted to having a drink.
Well, that's not illegal.
I know that.
How is this happening? And I'll tell you what, if I go out there, because I think, and I'm sober as a judge right now, I've had nary a drink. I've been a teetotaler tonight. If I drive home and get pulled over and they try to put me through, I got the coordination of a four-year-old, a drunken four-year-old, trying to do the nose gimmick and the walking on one leg.
Yeah.
I'm going to fall over. Does that mean I can go to jail even though I've been drinking?
Oh, yeah. I mean, could you imagine me standing on one leg? With my bum ankle.
I am
stunned. It would just crumble.
I am still stunned you haven't fallen out of that chair yet. We've been at this almost 2 hours now.
That's
so
true.
I can't imagine you walking a straight line.
That's true. I understand your feelings. But, you know, I even have a better story.
Cool. Better than that. All right.
Oh, my, yes. Ms. Blondie Bennett.
Blondie Bennett.
In parentheses, her recently acquired real name.
Oh, so that legally her name's Blondie Bennett.
Ms. Blondie Bennett.
Is Ms. Blondie an attractive lady?
38.
Okay, it's a little old.
Is not just a California model selling provocative Barbie doll photos of herself online, featuring her recently augmented 32 double J breast implants.
Goes up to J?
Apparently.
I thought it
double J.
D.
She is at work on a longer-range project to remake herself completely as a human Barbie doll.
Yeah.
To include...
Barbie's hands weren't that big.
Listen.
Oh, I'm sorry.
To include the popular critique that Barbie represents not only bodily perfection, but mindlessness, Bennett said she has had 20 hypnotherapy sessions to help her appear more confused and vacant.
I'm guessing this broad doesn't need any help being stupid, if that's what you're getting at.
I want people to see me as a plastic sex doll, and being and being brainless is a big part of that, she said.
Well, she's well on her way.
According to the news report, she said she is doing well in that she recently got lost driving to her mother's house.
So this broad's trying to contend that she is too smart to be an actual Barbie doll, so that she's
yeah,
taking
she wants
effort
to
make herself stupider.
Yeah.
I think she's already there. I think she's done a heck of a job.
I think she's been there. We all should be proud
Speaking
of her.
Speaking of stupid bimbos, Rick, I didn't write this one down, so I don't have her name. But there's a young lady, a Playboy model. And you know how Playboy has their big golf outing every year. Maybe you're not aware of that.
As
a golf guy and a noted pervert, I figured you were aware of that.
Is it Hugh Hefner a little old for golf?
Well, I don't think he's golfing.
Oh, okay.
He's just sponsoring the thing.
Yeah.
So anyhow, there's a young man up there.
I can just see him out with knickers and a little flat hat with a Jaggy Gleason.
Oh, no question about it. So
you
know how they'll have all these tarts on all the tee boxes? You've probably been to tournaments like that.
Oh,
anyhow.
Yeah.
So they had the one tart up there, and one of the guys asked her. He wanted her to put a tee, you know, in her butt. We'll just say that. I don't know the classy way to say that. And let him drive a ball off of it.
I don't think there is a classy way to say that.
So apparently, she allowed this. This is all part of the gimmick. This is what she did. Well, apparently he chunked that one
my Lord.
Blasted her right in the can with his driver, and she's trying to sue him now. Now, my thought, I'm no lawyer, but I'm thinking you put a golf tee between your cheeks and you get whacked in the ass, that's on you, honey. The law can't help you now. But just my opinion. I don't know. I'm certainly not a legal scholar.
Well, no, we're not a scholar in any facet, let alone legality. But, yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you. I mean, you lay down, stick a ball where, I mean, that's just not right.
Literally where the sun was shining there that day, anyhow.
Yeah, I guess at least for a split second when that old driver.
Right. I could go so many directions on that. We're going to try and keep it at least a modicum of family friendliness at this point, anyhow. Not a whole lot, I mean, but a little bit. A little bit of decorum, if you will.
Yes, decorum. I like that. But anyway, I guess we can move right along to some other stories
We got a million of them here.
British litigant Jane Mulcahy.
Mulcahy.
I wonder if she's related to Father Mulcahy from MASH or something. I don't know. But anyway, was turned down twice recently in her attempts to sue her former divorce lawyers.
Okay.
That's going to be pertinent later, so remember that.
All right, I'll write that down.
Her attempts to sue her former divorce lawyers for negligence. Although they had won her case defeating her husband's contentions, the lawyers were negligent, she said, because they never told her that if she won the lawsuit, the marriage would be over.
What was she hoping the outcome would be?
Lord Justice Briggs.
So this is Lord, family. This is kin of yours.
Lord Justice Briggs, in the second appeal, said that Mulcahy's Roman Catholic faith should have tipped her off that divorce ended the marriage.
Well, what the... Hold on. Does it say... This is why I don't like the Brits, first of all. What was she hoping the... So she sued for divorce, right? Did I gather that right?
I'm guessing she sued her husband. It said to that her divorce lawyers defeated her husband's contentions. So whatever the dispute was...
Okay. So she thought this was going to bring them back together. So the lawsuit to divvy up all their crap...
Right.
What she thought was everybody get what was theirs, and then they move back in, and everything's no bubbles, no troubles, one big happy family
apparently,
again.
Apparently, yeah.
Good Lord. It's a sad world. Now, picture in England, don't all the lawyers and judges and stuff still wear those powdered wigs and stupid crap like that?
I don't know.
Balderdash, they say, and they say crap like that.
Rubbish.
Rubbish, too. I'm not crazy about them.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Hey, let's get back to booze where we do well. Did you hear the story about the CenturyLink Arena in Boise, Idaho? College hockey game. There's actually two individuals working on a class action lawsuit alleging that the CenturyLink Arena in Boise, Ohio is allegedly selling beers for $7, even though they contain the same amount of liquid as the $4 small beer cup. Now, that is malfeasance at its worst right there.
That is terrible.
They're different shapes, but so they one looks larger than the other because of the different shapes, but both cups hold ostensibly the same amount of liquid and are not large versus small in actual capacity. This is enough, I think, that the place ought to be shut down and burnt to the ground. To have the audacity, number one, in any arena to charge $7 for a beer, I don't know how these people sleep at night. And then you're ripping people off and giving them $4 worth of beer for their $7. Shame on you, CenturyLink in Boise, Idaho.
Shame, shame, shame. That's all.
For shame, I say.
Now, did you see that archaeologists actually discovered a tomb in what is now Sudan of a 3,000-year-old mummy? And you know what killed him?
No.
Cancer.
No. How do they know that?
Well, they can see that it was in the bones.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's been around that long?
Oh, it's been around. I actually saw another story where they actually found cancer in a Neanderthal.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Where did they find a Neanderthal?
They got...
You ever see Encino Man? Remember that movie?
Yeah.
They dug him up and thawed him out, and he was a party guy. I like that. He was digging the swimming pool by hand.
Oh, yeah.
I always wanted a caveman. That'd be fun.
But that's just goes to show you cancer's been preying on man probably since man's been around.
And it's pretty much undefeated, too.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. They're on a long winning streak there. So, Rick, terrible segue. We've got about 15 or 20 minutes left. I think we probably ought to, we were remiss, didn't get into it with all the excitement of the fantasy football tournament, talking about the Jim Irsay story.
Yeah, apparently Jim's had some real troubles with alcohol and drugs, and some of the reports coming out of bizarre behavior and all kinds of things.
Just read his Twitter feed if you want to see bizarre behavior.
But apparently he's facing 4 felony charges, and I don't know what's going to happen. We'll just have to monitor it. But the biggest question is, how does Lord Goodell handle this?
That's where I wanted to go with this. If this was a player, he would be facing a serious suspension. Now, to the league's credit, they at least pretend like they're going to wait until the very end of this and let the legal process work out, and then the league will take action. Assuming this is all real, a player's going to get, what, Rick, 4 games, 6 games, 8 games, depending on exactly... What did he have? Have they said yet?
All I saw, as close as I could find, was a certain class of narcotics, Percocet or Ambien, something like a painkiller, stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah, and I heard there was a columnist out of Indianapolis, I'm blanking on his name, I heard on the radio on the way up here, was tweeting out that this, if you know him and you know the Colts organization, this comes as a surprise to nobody. The driving while impaired was in no way due to alcohol. I believe he's a recovering alcoholic who hasn't been drinking, but this drug problem did not come as a surprise to this Colts beat writer, whoever he was. I wish I could remember his name and give him credit for this, but he was apparently tweeting all morning when this story broke. So, but it's going to be interesting to see how the league handles this. Are the owners subject to, forget about the agreement because they're not part of the collective bargaining agreement. In your mind, Rick, does he need to be held to the same standard as a player?
I'm going to say yes, because I think it starts at the top.
Right.
I mean, that's how... I mean, so I see some sort of, you know, I mean, you can't really suspend an owner, I guess, but you can certainly take away draft picks. I mean, who cares if you do or not? You know what I mean? It doesn't really much matter.
Yes, it
like
depends.
Sean Payton not being on the sidelines for a year is a lot bigger deal than the owner not being hanging, like Jerry Jones sitting up in the press box.
Well, Jerry Jones, GM too, I guess.
Well,
so that might be not a very good one, but that might be a more significant blow. Yeah, that depends, I guess, on how involved Irsay is in the day-to-day. Look, it's a weird thing. Everything in me wants to say, yeah, he had better be punished the way a player would be punished, because, you know, and I don't like, it's been no secret, I don't think either of us like the way Goodell handles business all the time, especially with circumstances like this. At this point, though, Rick, by and large, Goodell works for the owners, not the other way around. That's where the line is.
Yeah, that's true, too.
I don't know what authority. I think, hopefully, if what this beat writer says is true, Irsay's got a real problem. And hopefully this is a wake-up call and he can get this stuff straightened out. Look, it's none of my business what he does. This probably isn't an anomaly. There's probably a couple of them that are miserable drunks. He probably ain't the only pillhead. There's probably woman-eyed and everything else in there. All the... You know, what did Puff Daddy teach us? Mo money, mo problems. You're probably in one of your favorite songs, Rick, I know.
Yeah.
So, but when you look at all of this, but I just wonder, I think from a PR perspective, the league almost has to take action. I just don't know that they have any standing to do so.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're probably right there as far as that goes. What authority does he have over his employer? That's more or less like me becoming a CEO of a company and then trying to punish the owners of the company. I mean,
right.
Just, you really can't do that.
Yeah,
I understand
what
you're
saying.
I work
for you, you get arrested,
right,
and I'm going to suspend you.
Right.
It don't work that way.
Right.
Now, Goodell has sort of come in and snatched power away from everybody, and they've allowed him to have ultimate power.
Well, and whether or not it's Goodell, if the 31 other owners get together and decide something,
that's where
in the league,
that's where
it's very possible.
And that's where there needs to be some action. Now, while I think it's in response to the way Goodell does things, you see these owners being more proactive and dealing with a lot of this stuff in-house, issuing their own suspensions, not waiting for the league to do it. That's where it may be hypocritical if I have no issue necessarily with the use of this stuff. Behind closed doors, while granted illegal, I don't think it's anybody's business. I really don't, Rick. I think now the getting out on the road, it's the DWI that's the issue, and that's the same issue with a player. Now, players have specific rules. If you want to play in our league, you can't do this drug, you can't do that drug, you can't do this, you can't, remember back talking to Patrick Jones, and you can't even take any Sudafed or anything like that. But that's in your contract. That's what you agreed to. The owners, I assume, have agreed to no such thing. Maybe they have, but had they not, but now the rest of the owners can come out and say, all right, you had this DWI. If this was one of our players, we would take this action. We're going to take this action on you.
That too, and like you said, it could be behind closed doors. You don't really care. However, you get pulled over for DWI, and these drugs are illegal, you know, in the quantities that he had. So, you know, that's illegal. So, you know, I mean, I don't know if the owners are going to take action, but I think his biggest problem right now is getting the problem handled and under control and getting cleaned up a little bit, and then facing these four felony charges.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be a big enough distraction to the team as it is.
Yeah, I would think. I don't know how involved Irsay is in the day-to-day operations. He's enough of a blowhard to give you the impression that he's very involved. I don't know if he's that involved or just that big of a blowhard. I'm not sure which it is. You wonder how much of this crazy behavior, this wild Twitter feed of his, has to do with those drugs. And I got to tell you, Rick, that scares me. I never want to make light of DUI, and we do some joking about it. Going back to the McDonald's story, I did find that funny. There's nothing really all that funny about DUI. This DUI, if it's not alcohol involved and it's these pills involved, I find that a little scary. I don't know how much involvement you've had with these things. Coming out of my surgery was the first time in my life I ever took any of them things. That stuff is wicked, Rick. I couldn't fathom getting behind the wheel of a car when I was all zipped up on that stuff. And I think if you're using it recreationally, you're probably not taking a recommended dose. And I had recommended doses make a drooling fool out of me, let alone what I assume a guy who's abusing it does.
Oh, yeah, I've had surgeries on my ankles and so forth. And, yeah, basically I take the stuff and go to bed and go to sleep is what I did.
I just sit there in la-la land.
Yeah, I don't know how people function.
Space. I don't know how they do it. And you figure they're taking 3-4 times a recommended dose. They're crushing it up and doing everything they're doing. I'm just taking a pill, taking half a dose, and floating around the room like Tinkerbell, for Christ's sake.
Oh, exactly. But we'll just see what happens with that, and hopefully he just gets straightened away. We see fashion designer and Mick Jagger's girlfriend, Loren Scott, found dead, hanging in her apartment today. I guess it is today. Well, it was Monday. Sorry, this is Thursday.
Yeah, this is Thursday, so this happened way back on Monday, Rick.
But, that's kind of a...
Do we blame Mick for this? Is it too early to make light of it? No, it's been 4 days now. We can make light of it.
Yeah, he's...
Here's what I'm thinking. How old's Mick Jagger?
He's probably about 70 by now, I would imagine.
So she probably got with him figuring the hard life he lived. He's getting up there in age. He's almost as old as you.
Been together since 2001.
See, she put in her time and thinking he was going to kick off and she was going to get that Rolling Stones fortune. And unfortunately, like we were talking about before we went on the air, this guy's showing no signs of dying. And I think she just gave up. She just punted. She can't do it anymore. You got that creature grabbing at her all the time. I don't blame her, really, to be honest with you.
Well, I'm not going to make light of, actually is apparent suicide. Yeah, they're just, noteworthy, I would guess.
Well, certainly that. Who knew she existed? I didn't. But,
Mick.
I believe. Yeah, I'm sure Mick was fully aware, yeah.
So, moving right along here. I mean, there's just not a whole lot, the 777 jet plane we talked about, the big mystery of it, going from Malaysia to China, disappeared
still
and everything.
Still fascinates me.
Now they think it was deliberately turned west and out in the middle of the Indian Ocean. That's where she's at.
And they're saying they've been able to account for, 7 hours after they lost it, and they believe it took evasive maneuvers to avoid radar. Something really, really wacky's going on here. Any chance that thing's on the ground somewhere?
I don't think so. I have to think that, in fact, we talked to, I guess it was Saturday in the studio with a gentleman. He was talking about, if cars can figure out, you can figure out where a car is through OnStar. They got to know where this plane was.
You think they know where it is and they're just not telling us?
Well, they may know coordinates, but it may be 2 miles under the ocean by now.
Yeah,
for all
I
we
understand
know.
That, but there's a far cry from where they were looking to now it being, over by Africa somewhere? Is that where the Indian Ocean is? I'm not very smart, as you know.
Well, I know. Well,
that's a butt-foot-long ways away from where they were originally looking, though.
Well,
I'll tell
it
you
goes,
that.
Indian Ocean is vast from,
I understand
from
that
Malaysia way. And Vietnam and that, the whole way over to Africa is the Indian Ocean.
But they thought it was on that side. If it was in the air for 7 hours, you can cover some ground for 7 hours.
Yeah, you can cover what? Probably about 3,000 miles, if not more.
And they're looking at, I know they're looking at the pilot, the co-pilot. Apparently, I did read a story where the pilot was somehow extremely wealthy, a very opulent fella. I don't know that much money in being an airplane pilot or where his money came from, and actually has a flight simulator in his house. And so authorities were taking a look at that to see if he'd practice these evasive radar ducking maneuvers that it would have taken that they believe this plane took. I'm not sure where they're getting this information that they believe this happened. However, you know, officials in the United States say you'd have to be a seriously, seriously well-trained pilot in order to conduct these maneuvers that they believe were conducted.
Yeah, and it says that the search, the scale of the search is covering from the shores of the Caspian Sea.
Okay, where is that?
In the north. That is up in Caspian Sea. It's landlocked like in southern Asia up towards like Russia and so forth.
Okay, so that's way up north.
Yeah, and then into deep in the southern Indian Ocean. So, I mean, that is a lot of miles. They said that the last words from the cockpit was an informal, all right, good night, which to me wouldn't sound anything suspicious.
Yeah,
but
that's that odd, is it?
But apparently the all right, good night was spoken after the tracking system known as ACARS was shut down.
Yeah, and they believe that was deliberately turned off, right?
So, I don't know. It seems to me it just has a lot of suspicious behavior, and who knows where it is. I have a feeling it's just in the bottom of the ocean.
I really hope it's landed somewhere. You know what? I seriously do. However, I would think then you're looking at a hostage situation or something to that effect, and you'd have heard something by now.
Well, that's,
you know what
that's
I mean?
The thing.
Otherwise, there was this story, though. Did you hear it over the weekend that these families were, and they were convinced that everybody was still alive because these families were calling their cell phones and they were ringing instead of going directly to voicemail, which they assume would happen if you were 2 miles under the ocean. So there's just so much going on here. I can't wait till they find this thing, and I hopefully you can figure out exactly what happened.
Yeah, I have a feeling that it's not going to end pretty. But, you know, we'll find out. It's a mystery. You would think if it was some sort of terrorist activity that they'd want somebody to know about it, because that's what they want. You know, they want, oh, we're making a statement, and it's for Allah and all this kind of stuff, whatever. But no word.
Somebody would have taken claim for it if it was Islamic terrorists, because that's the first thing they do is get on Al Jazeera and usually 15 different sects of terrorists, cells of terrorists, take credit for it, trying to get their name out there.
Exactly. You know, and they're actually going back to the Jim Irsay situation, there's, you know, a little comment here. Roddy White wants to see how the NFL punishes Irsay.
Oh, so Roddy White interested. So, and that's what's interesting. Again, I'm not sure the NFL, that Roger Goodell has the authority to do anything. Again, by and large, well, not by and large, he's hired by the owners, right?
Well,
the
true.
Owners don't work for him. I think from a PR's perspective, the other owners under the guise, you know, or I should say, I'm saying that backwards, Goodell under the guise of a decision that the other owners make, got to take some sort of action, though, don't you think?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. But it just, you know, eeks just a little bit. The players are curious on how
right.
They're cracking down on everything that they do.
And you can't blame the players for having that opinion. I'm behind them
100%.
Exactly. I'm just not sure in reality if the league has much to say about it. It's
going to be up to the other owners in
the
my
word,
book.
The word owner means something, you know what I mean? You can sort of do what you want. You'll pay the price later, but there's really nobody to hold you to account. Rick, what do you think of this real quick before we get out of here? Indiana, the Hoosiers, Story basketball program.
We don't play in the BPI, huh?
CBI, but close enough.
Oh,
what are your
sorry.
Thoughts on that? So they don't make the NCAA tournament. Surprisingly, even with the poor record, I figured they'd get in the NIT for ratings. You think ESPN would want those ratings. So get invited to the CBI and just said no. They said, we're Indiana. We don't play in the CBI. What are your thoughts on that?
It's fine with me. There's storage, there's program, and if they don't want to play in there, more power to them.
That's the AD, and I assume Tom Crean, making that decision. Don't you think if you're a player, you're 18, 19 years old, three or four more games. Chances are they get in and they can make a little run in that thing. Don't you think you want a couple more games? Even though it's a CBI, it's kind of embarrassing. Don't you want a few more games?
I don't know. I really don't know.
I think they play those games on home court, so Indiana could get some additional home games, some additional revenue. Seems a little little
well,
arrogant.
Well, that has nothing
to
do with the players. Revenue doesn't mean anything about the players.
But that's why I'm surprised the AD doesn't want anything to do with it either. You
irregardless,
think they still wouldn't
they
sell
don't
out that
want to. You're talking about the players. I don't know. As a player, I don't make the NIT. I don't make the NCAA. Maybe this season wasn't that good. I'm tired. No. You know, let's just go back to class and we'll get back to basketball later.
These guys aren't going to class.
Yeah, you know what I mean. It's spring break.
That. Yeah. But, well, maybe that's it. They want to get down to Panama City and have some fun.
But, I mean,
I think if I'm the
going
AD,
back
I
to
play.
Class, I just meant going back to campus and a little bit of a break. And let's get back to basketball later on. Why keep dragging this out? It means nothing. It doesn't matter if they make the run and win. It does nothing for the players. Nobody's paying any attention to that. They're going to play next year. I mean, maybe a senior or two may want to.
Get a couple more games in.
But it was a disappointing senior year. We didn't finish well in the Big Ten. We didn't make the tournament. We didn't make the NIT. Who cares? I personally don't think there's that many players really screaming about it.
Yeah, and you don't know, and that wasn't part of the story. They didn't talk to any of the – you know what? I'm kind of doing a 180 on this. It's such fantastic arrogance to just say, we're Indiana, we don't play in the CBI. The more I think about it, if the players want to play, I feel bad for it, but I liked it. Just being that arrogant that you just say, nah, we're not going to do it. We're too good for you. I like that.
Yeah.
Maybe I want them to play in it because I celebrated a little bit when Pitt won that thing in 2010.
You're pathetic.
I was rooting hard for them, I'll tell you that. I beat Washington, I believe, in the final. It was a very close game. CBI champions.
That's
one thing I've noticed, I spent a lot of time at the Peterson Event Center this year. That CBI trophy is not displayed anywhere. They've got this massive trophy case in the lobby of the Pete. It's not displayed there. There's some Big East championship trophies, some things like that. No mention of the CBI championship, and I'm disappointed by that. A championship's a championship is a championship as far as I'm concerned.
That's just a shame. Did you happen to see John Daly's two rounds at the Velspar Championship this past week?
He shot a 90 on Thursday, right?
No, he shot a 90 on Friday.
On Friday, okay.
He shot 74-90.
Nice. Well, he had a 12 on that one hole, didn't he? Dumped three in the water?
I don't care. A 90.
I like John Daly.
A 12 is, if it's a par 4, it's 8 over. So now you're only at, say, 79 or 80.
You still got 10 more to go.
Yeah. I mean, that's just, have another one, John.
I think he's,
nice round.
I think he's clean now, isn't he? It's just the M&Ms and the Diet Coke.
Maybe he needs to lay off of that. I don't know. But a 90.
I like John Daly.
And look, I love John Daly.
Let's be honest, Rick. I don't know. Maybe, I guess you were more involved. I would be ecstatic if I could go out and shoot a 90. Thrilled. Just ecstatic if I could shoot a 90.
I have played two rounds in the last 9 years.
Uh-huh.
And it's because, let's see, the last time I went out, I shot 85. And
no.
Are you
that good?
Oh, I used to be real good.
Well, I guess you were, a superintendent of golf courses or something?
Yeah, I actually used to be a 2 handicap.
No kidding.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, yeah. I'd get excited at 110 at this point.
I'm 55 years old, and I just don't want to play it. But still, a 90, could I go out and shoot a 90 there? Maybe if I played for a few months,
So when you're shooting these 85s, you're playing from the tips?
Oh, yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah, I don't play. Yeah.
That's impressive.
There's no reason to play from the
white tees. Are you old enough to play from the
tees.
Women's tees yet? How old do you have
they
to get?
They don't have those anymore. They have senior tees now.
Oh, they call them that instead of the ladies' tees.
Well, no,
now. You
have ladies' tees.
Oh, and senior tees.
Then seniors.
Which is closer, ladies or seniors?
Oh, ladies.
Okay.
Yeah, the last club I was at, you had red, white, blue, and gold. Yeah, red was the ladies, white was the seniors, blue was like the average golfer, and then the gold was the tips.
Huh.
And, of course, I'm sure they vary in colors, but that's what we had.
Yeah, but wherever you go.
Right.
Well, that's interesting, because there's usually the blues, the whites, and the reds are the ladies around here. I was unfamiliar with the senior team. You can play from them now, can't you?
No.
How old do you have to be? Is there like an age limit?
96,
show ID?
I think.
96.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you're getting closer than you think.
Yeah.
All right, Rick. Well, we have reached the end of another thrilling all-over-the-place, schizophrenic episode of the Asylum Bonus Hour.
And I don't know what to tell you. We apologize, you know, for... I'm showing you the way to the $1 billion. Flieger's trying to lead you astray. But, you know, you're going to have to make the point.
I would lead no one astray. Look, you get that Final Four, you get Duke in that championship game, and I guarantee you. Rick, I can't wait, although...
Well, the thing is, you have Duke, I have Louisville, and neither one of us can really argue about either one of those guys.
That's the problem. It's that kind of year. So, actually, as you're listening to this, you're probably listening to this as you're watching games, and... great for that, and probably one of our teams has been eliminated by now already. One of our Final Four teams has probably already lost.
Yeah, I hope not.
All right, Rick, well, let's get out of here. I'm playing your favorite song for you. This is Mo Money, Mo Problems, as I'm
sure
you're...
Can you play some rock and roll once in a while?
Well, you asked for it. You requested this song.
No, I didn't.
So that's it. We will be back Tuesday, finally live after a week of being pre-recorded. We'll be back Tuesday with the first round of the NCAA, the second annual Asylum Fantasy Football Tournament. Until then, we'll see you.
And we will have a guest in studio. Take care.
All right, even you gotta like this, Rick. You took your headphones off again. I hate when you do that. I play this crap for you, and then you take your headphones off.
I can't hear you. I don't have my headphones on.
Yeah, you can hear me.
No, we're in soundproof booths, remember?
Pisses me off to no end. I'm gonna start dancing over here. It's a good song. You need to listen to this. Well, I want to do that dance move. See me die and see me fly. I call all the shots, rip all the spots, rock all the rocks, top all the drops. I know you're taking now when you're playing this one through to the end. You never home, I haven't heard this song in 10 years.
10 years from now, we'll still be on top. Yo, I thought I told you that we won't
carry me out of here.
Much longer than yours, and a team much stronger than yours. Violate me, this will be your day. We don't play, mess around, be on your way. Cause it ain't enough time here, ain't enough lime here for you to shine here. Deal with many women, but treat down fair. And I'm bigger than the city lights down in Times Square. Yeah, yeah, yeah. DEA, federal agents mad cause I'm flagrant. Got myself and a phone in the basement. My team supreme, stay clean. Miracle dream, I'll be that. Catch a seat at all events bent. Girls on shoulders, playboy, I told ya. Me and Mike to me, bruise too much. I lose too much. Step on stage, the girls boo too much. I get to cut you run with lame dudes too much. Me lose my sex, never that. If I did, ain't no problem. And get to where the true player's at. Throw your rollies in the sky, waving side to side, and keep your hands high while I give your girl an eye. Player please, lyrically, you can see, B-I-G, be flossing, jig on the cover of Fortune, 5 down below, take my phone number, your man, I got the number.